We have been talking for the last, this will be the third session. We're talking about a hearing heart. That's what we've entitled this. And so I want to read our main text here, and then we'll jump into some other territory here today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank you today for the fact that you're here. You're here in our midst. You're in us. And so, Lord, we thank you today that because of that, we are successful. It's your presence with us that changes everything, Father God. And today we just welcome you, Lord, in this place. Have your way. Speak to us. Speak through us. Manifest your glory to us right now in the name of Yeshua. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Do you believe that? Okay, in Isaiah chapter 50, in verse 4, this is a messianic prophecy from Isaiah about 700 years prior to his becoming flesh in the earth. And Isaiah is prophesying here regarding the Messiah. It's very clear as we read these few verses here that he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, verse 4 says, "The Lord God hath given me a tongue of the learned, that I should speak, know how to speak a word in due season, in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back." Amen. Verse 6, this is getting real specific. "I gave my back to the smiters." Didn't that happen to Jesus right before going to the cross? "And my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair, my beard. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting. For the Lord God," I believe Jesus stood on this when he was on the cross, "for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face," now notice this, "like a flint, that I know that I shall not be ashamed." I looked into this face like a flint. It means that he refused to be distracted. Amen. Jesus refused to be distracted. And so I wanted to read this because there's some powerful truths that we're talking about here. And we're talking about a hearing heart. Now in verse 5 it says, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear." And in the Hebrew, it actually means he gave me a hearing heart. Okay? We went over that the last couple of weeks. And there's no way that he could have been to Jesus Christ on the earth, you know, was able to speak a word in due season had he not been with the Father and spent time with him, hearing the heart of the Father. Amen? Now, I want to read real quick here in the Message translation of verse 4-9. And I'll just, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just read it. It says, "The Master God has given me a well-taught tongue that I know how to encourage tired people. He wakes me up in the morning. He wakes me up and he opens my ears to listen to one ready to hear orders, ready to take orders. The Master God opened my ears and I did not go back to bed. I didn't pull the covers up over my head, but I followed orders." That's the Message. I really like that. That's a really good rendition of that scripture right there. And so he's talking, of course, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, he says, God has opened my ears to hear as the learned. Amen. He wakeneth morning by morning. And as I said before, it seems that, at least in my case, maybe you too, that the most of the time when I've heard from the Lord, you can hear from the Lord any time of the day. But it seems there's something about the first part of the day, or for me it's between 12 a.m. and 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. Most of the time when the Holy Spirit's spoken to me, I wrote it down, you know. And sometimes I forgot to write down what he said. And I was like, darn, I forgot to write it down. I said, Lord, please bring it back to my remembrance, you know. And he finally did, you know. But it's during those times where your soul's more at rest, your mind's more at rest, and there's not a lot of clutter going on. Like during the course of the day, there's a lot of, you know, things that we all deal with. A lot of noise and things like that. But it's during those times that we can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Amen. And I'll tell you, I want to have a ready tongue. I want to have a, just like Isaiah says right there, he gave me a tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in due season to him that's weary. Praise God. Mm-hmm. How many of you know a word in due season will help us get out of that weariness state? Amen. So there's a lot of weary people that are out there. Sometimes we experience that ourselves, you know. But the Holy Spirit is able to communicate with us. I know this, that when we hear from heaven, when we hear from the Lord and he speaks to us, It has a way of totally changing the whole situation. It's seeing things from heaven's perspective, you know, like instead of looking at it from an earthly perspective where it looks, this doesn't look too good. You know what I mean? We know what that's like. But when the Lord speaks to us and he reveals things to us, he gives us a totally different perspective. Praise God. Now let's go over to the Gospel of John this morning. St. John chapter 10. And the Apostle John, of course, wrote this. And we're going to look at some things about hearing from the Lord, hearing from him, how do we can tune our ears more into what he's saying to us. And when we do, it's going to change everything. I'm telling you, it's just going to change everything. Praise God. Someone asked me one time, what's my favorite pastime? What's your hobby? Hearing from the Lord. It's not a sport. It's not anything. I like to do certain things, of course. But my favorite thing is to hear from the Lord. That to me is the best thing in the world. Amen. Now, as we read John chapter 10, Jesus is going to make it real plain because, of course, he's talking about the New Testament, the new covenant that's going to take place, you know. So let's just pick up and we'll comment as we go down here. But in John chapter 10, and let's look at verse 1. Okay. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now he'll explain this right here. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the portereth open, or the door opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Now notice that. The sheep hear his voice and call his own sheep by name. I like that. He doesn't just say, hey, you. He calls you by name. And he leadeth them out. Verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Underline that. They know his voice. Now this is talking about us. The stranger they will not follow, in verse 5, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things that which were spake unto them. So now he's going to explain this in verse 7. Because a lot of times Jesus would say something to the disciples, they didn't get it. And he's like, can you explain that to me? Amen. And so let's pick up. Praise the Lord. Verse 6, this parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not the things that which were spoken unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verse 7, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now this is, among other things, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But he also says, I am the door. And in the Gospel of John, it's not one of the synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He says things that the others don't say, okay? And there's several I ams in I am the light of the world, I am the good shepherd, and so forth. Oh, there's several I ams that are mentioned in the Gospel of John. And here's one of them right here. He said unto them, verily I say unto you, verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Amen. I am, verse 9, he says, I am the door. There he says it again. By me, if any enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief, we're familiar with this verse in verse 10. The thief cometh not. Now notice the first thing, but for to steal. Some people quote that, you know, kill, steal. But no, it's actually steal first. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. And verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he, verse 12, he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling. And notice this, he cares not for the sheep. He's in it for himself. Okay? 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I have known of mine. I'll explain that in a second here. The Father knoweth me Even so, I know the Father, and I lay my life for the sheep. And verse 16, now this would include us. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. In other words, we weren't there then. Other sheep I have this fold that also I must bring in. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Amen. Now notice in verse 3 again, go back to verse 3 here as we break this down here. To him the porter openeth. That's the door. Notice this. The sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name. And as a result, he leadeth them. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Notice it said, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And he calleth them by name. Amen. You know what's really interesting about the Lord, our Father, is that he knows every intimate detail about your life. He doesn't just look at you and say, hey, what's your name? He knows your name. I mean, that's the tip of the iceberg. He knows everything about you. He knows the very hairs on your head, the scripture says, how many numbers the hairs. He knows how many cells are in your body, you know. And that can change by the second. You know what I'm saying? He knows intimate details about you. But the thing that's most important for us to recognize and to realize, and we're talking about this subject here about homing in and hearing from heaven, amen, hearing from the Lord, is that this concept here that Jesus, which is tremendous, we're going to talk about this for the rest of the time here today, is the shepherd and the sheep. Jesus likens us unto sheep. The Bible says in Psalms, it says we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Amen. So we're likened unto sheep. Amen. Now, as far as I know, the only animal that can't really survive on its own is a sheep. A sheep needs a shepherd. Or they have no defense mechanism. Matter of fact, the only defense mechanism that a sheep has is a shepherd. Okay? They're very vulnerable creatures. Amen. Now, there are different reasons that they would, in the Bible times, that they sheep were used. Number one, for sacrifice for the temple at that time, right? But they were also used for the clothing. You see, the Bible says God gave sheep for clothing, which is what? Wool, okay? And the goats for milk. You know, the Bible says nothing about cow's milk. Did you know that? It says goat's milk. That's just another subject, amen? And it's interesting, but the sheep were very valuable to the people in the times of Israel. Amen. Now, I want to read again. He said in verse 4, they know his voice. My sheep know my voice. And that phrase keeps going over and over again. And that's what I want to talk about here today, is because that, how many of you are children of God here? You're a sheep. I'm a sheep. Okay? We have a shepherd. Now, if the Bible says my sheep hear my voice, that must mean the shepherd has a voice. The shepherd's not mute. He speaks. The shepherd speaks. Now, some time ago, you might remember, we showed a video. I didn't bring it up here today, but we showed a video of a Mideastern shepherd. And to this day, over there, people that travel to Israel, there are still shepherds there. It's like going back in time, and they still have their sheep on the side of a hillside and so forth, you know. And over in Saudi Arabia, it's the exact same thing. Over there, you have wild camels just running around. I had a friend that went over there a couple years ago to see Mount Sinai, you know. Bill went over there. And he said, Keith, there were camels everywhere, just wild, just like deer here, like walking around. You know what I'm saying? And but the shepherds are still, you know, prominent to this day over in that particular area, all right? And we saw that an illustration that somebody gave. There was a guy over there that had the head wrap and all that. He's Far Eastern, you know, and he had several hundreds of sheep, you know, and they were inside this pen, okay? And there's only one doorway to get in there, right? Like Jesus said, I'm the door to get into that pen, right? And where there's protection. And this guy must have been a Christian because he did an example, and he called two or three people over that were there watching this, you know, and he said, why don't you try to call the sheep? Well, how do you call them? Just do whatever you want to do. See if they'll come to you. And so some people would yell and scream. Some people would make weird noises. Sheep wouldn't even lift up their head. Okay? And he said, but after that was done, after two or three people went through these rounds, the real shepherd came up there and made some kind of a call. You know, within seconds, all those sheep came running towards the opening of the gate. The point being is this. Those sheep are familiar with that shepherd's voice. And a stranger, they didn't even pay attention to. Amen? Now, that's interesting because the shepherd who is Jesus, I am the good shepherd, he said, lives on the inside of us. And if he lives on the inside of us, he's going to speak to us. He's going to reveal himself to us. As a matter of fact, the good shepherd loves to speak. Now, he is a perfect gentleman, and I have found this, that he doesn't just butt in on your affairs unless you ask him to. He doesn't, you know, the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Well, if we don't ask of God, how can he give it to us, right? So when we open up our hearts and our minds for the Lord to talk to us, to speak to us, now I've told the Lord several times, when I wake up in the morning, I say, no, Lord, I'm going about my business throughout the day, but if you want to say something to me, I'm all ears. I want to hear what you're saying to me. And so you go about the day with an open ear spiritually, and if the Lord wants to say something or drop something in your spirit, bring it on. Amen? Instead of just going about my business and being hard-headed and not paying attention, because even though we're doing things in the natural, there's still the Holy Spirit inside of us, Jesus, the good shepherd's on the inside of us, and he'll speak to us. Amen? He'll reveal himself to us. Are you with me now? Praise the Lord. The good shepherd. Amen? I had an interesting thing happen this past week, you know. I was driving my school bus, you know. I was driving these middle schoolers. What's Neil Armstrong, 5th and 6th? Yeah, these 5th and 6th graders, you know. And I've had trouble with this one kid throughout the year. And, you know, and he's from another country originally, you know. And he's had a real problem with rebellion and stuff, doing things that are, you know, not good. Well, you know, he's been suspended a couple of times through the year, you know, and my heart kind of goes out to him, you know, but you still have to use disciplinary action. You can't just let him do whatever he wants, you know. And the other day, he took a big magic marker out and wrote on the back of the seat of one of the seats on the bus, number 17. The kids told me they busted him, you know. Yeah, they threw him under the bus. And, you know, this is where I'm at dealing with this, you know. And so I can see to a certain degree, but I can't see behind the seats. I don't know what's going on, especially the little kids. You can't even see their heads. They're so small, you know what I mean? But, you know, I had to turn them in. I felt bad about it. I had to do it because you can't be destroying property and stuff like that, you know? And several times this year, I've had to make them sit on the front seat. So come on up here, you know, this is your seat. Welcome to the front seat again, you know? He hates it, but I said, you know, you're up here for a reason, right? And so, anyway, I had to turn him in, write him up, you know, and then I told him the principles. He got on the bus. I go, that's your seat right there. He goes, why? What did I do? I go, Mr. Graffiti. And he, like, put his head down. He knew right away he's busted, you know. And I said, spoke his name. I said, look, you can't be doing this kind of stuff and thinking this is okay. I said, this is Bethel Park School District property. You can't be doing this. You know what I mean? So you're going to be sitting up here. Not only that, I turned you in. The school's going to be contacting you. You know, he didn't argue with me. He knew he was guilty, you know. But going back to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because I didn't want to just crack down on him without saying something in a positive light, you know. And I said, his name's Liam, you know. I go, Liam, I said, that's not like you. I said, you're a good kid. I said, that's not really you, but you did that, but that's not who you are. Trying to get his identity changed, you know what I mean? Now, fortunately, that morning, I found a $20 bill laying on the ground, okay? Nobody claimed it, so I took it, you know? Nobody came up and said, I lost $20, you know? And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, I didn't even tell my wife this yet, but he was sitting on the front seat, we're almost at the school, and the Holy Spirit, I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me, he said, give him that $20 bill and say, this is for your lunch for the week. So I gave him that $20 bill, and he was like shocked. I mean, he was like, you just disciplined me and you gave me $20, you know? But I didn't provide, the Lord provided that. I was just the goat, the pastor, you know what I'm saying? And but I believe that morning, because I always pray in the morning, Lord, I want to hear your voice, the good shepherd's voice, you know? And but I noticed a change in him immediately after I did that for the good. I just believe it's seed planting time. You know what I'm saying? Did he do wrong? Yes. Was he guilty? Yes. But the Lord wants to reach him. Now, I didn't witness to him. I didn't tell him about Jesus or anything like that. But that it's not the place right then and there. Okay? But I wanted to instill confidence in him because I'm not sure about his home situation. It doesn't seem very stable. I don't know all the details. It's really none of my business. But I think it's not a good situation. You know? And but I said, that's not like you. You're not. That's not you. You know what I mean? You did that, but that, you're a good boy. I said, you're a good kid. You know? He was shocked because I think he was expecting the hammer to drop, you know? But I wasn't planning on sharing that, but it's like the good shepherd that's in us is a good shepherd. He's not a bad shepherd. And he wants to be good to people, okay? And some of the things I'll share about shepherds today parallel with natural, with spiritual, you know, that's I think is so awesome, you know? And let me read John 10:16 in the Amplified, classic Amplified. So we can come to this conclusion. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Are you his sheep?
Yes.
Yeah. So that means he has a voice. He calls you by name. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, I call him by your name. Amen. He didn't, if your name, like my name is Keith, he didn't say, hey, Pete. He'll say, Keith. When he talks to me, he uses my name. Go to the street, which is called straight, and there's a man in there by the name of so-and-so. Right? Right? In the book of Acts. God knows your name, knows your address. It's intimate. It's not like distant. It's an intimate thing. But over here in John 6, 10, verse 16, in the Amplified says, I have other sheep beside these that are not of this fold, which that would be us. We weren't there then. I must bring and impel those also that they may listen to my voice and heed my call, they will become one flock under the shepherd. Amen. Can I have an amen? So, say, I'm his sheep, and I know his voice. Stranger's voice, I will not follow. Now, through the years, I've had, you know, from time to time, I've had people, Christians, in the church, you know, nobody here right now, and say, I'm just having such a hard time hearing the Lord, you know. But I've noticed that they never have a hard time hearing from the devil. The devil said this to me. The devil said that to me, you know. I'm thinking, okay, you hear the devil's voice. What about God's voice? Okay? Some people, you just kind of flip it on them, you know what I mean? Say, well, if you're hearing the devil's voice, what about God's voice? You know, he's got a voice. We don't want to shut him off. Okay? Now, I looked this up. I did some research on this. And there are people that you'll recognize. I'm going to read their names. That are in the Bible that were natural shepherds. In other words, they had a natural flock. Okay, we'll talk about this for a minute. And the first one is, guess who it is? Abel. Okay, found in Genesis 4:2. It talks about him being the keeper of the sheep. Okay, so he was that would make him a shepherd, right? We also have Abraham. You know, he was wealthy. He had livestock. He had sheep. He managed flocks and herds, okay? And then, of course, his nephew, Lot, he kept the flocks, which ultimately led to disputes and strife between the shepherds, between Abraham and Lot. And they had so much wealth. You know, Abraham told Lot, "You take whichever territory you want to take. If you want to go left, I'll go right. If you want to go right, I'll go left." And Lot, based on his five senses, chose the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. We all know what happened there. Okay? Ultimately, Abraham had to get down there and defeat those people there because of what was going on there. Remember that? We also have Isaac and Jacob were both, you know, shepherds. They tended flock for their uncle Laban. Now, Moses also was a shepherd. He shepherded his father-in-law, Jethro. We're not talking Beverly Hillbillies here, okay? And in Midian, you know. And you know what's interesting about that? Because of Jethro, actually, his headquarters, where he set up initially, was over in Midian, which is Saudi Arabia, which is not far whatsoever from Mount Sinai, the real Mount Sinai, okay? And there was cave and dwellings over there. Those you might see some of that on here, but those caves that he lived in still exist over there, okay? And that's where the well of Moses was over. It's still there to this day, just like it was back then. Amen? And so Moses was, you know, the shepherd for his, they weren't not his sheep, they were his father-in-law, Jethro. Okay? Now we're really familiar with the shepherd of David. Okay? David was probably the most famous shepherd. He tended his father's sheep. They were not his, they were his father's sheep. We know that Psalm 23 was developed out of his experience being a shepherd. Okay? Now we know that it's more specific regarding David because it talks about it in the Bible. Okay? And he was the youngest of all of his brothers, right? Several brothers. And he was, while his brothers were on the battlefield, you know, not really fighting, but sitting, waiting there, because Goliath was there and the Philistines were there. You remember that? While that's going on, David is back on the hillside, miles away from that, tending his father's sheep. Okay? And we know from the scripture that a bear came one time, a lion came another time to attack the sheep. Okay? Right? And he literally fought the lion and the bear and defeated them. Think about that. Where'd that come from? How did that happen? Where did he get that concept? When's the last time you heard of someone going after a lion and a bear? Well, there wasn't. But you see, David was a shepherd. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Okay? And the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. Amen? I had like an inner vision one time, not an open vision, but an inner vision of me about David, you know, and because he's the offspring of Jesus, of course. Amen? He's Jesus, son of David, right? Have mercy on me. He comes from David's line, you see. And David, I believe, he was a psalmist. He was a singer. He was a songwriter. He was a psalmist, right? I believe that David, because what else is going on? That's a full-time job, 24/7. They eat with the sheep. They sleep with the sheep. They're there 24/7 because you can't leave them alone. Amen? Yeah. And I believe that David sang to the sheep. The sheep were familiar with his voice. He was also a slinger. You know, the Bible talks in Kings, there were slingers in Israel. Okay? And there's no shortage of rocks over there. It's still to this day. It's a very rocky place. Okay? And so he had all the time in the world to practice his skills with a slingshot. And I'll tell you, it's not the kind where you pull back. We're talking the kind you swing it around and then you let it go. You know how hard that must be to learn that? But they were so effective. They practiced constantly. They could take a rock and just zero in on a particular area and hit that thing. So, you know, and that's how he took out Goliath. Amen? And but when David fought, he said, there came a bear. He said, I rose up, went after the bear because it had one of the lambs in his mouth. He grabbed them by the beard, I think it was. Or no, that was the lion, I think. But anyway, he grabbed them and slew them. Now, from the natural, people cannot fight a lion and win. Within seconds, you're shreds. You're like shredded wheat. A bear, the same thing. The strength that a bear has is way more than a human being. Are you with me? But evidently, David must have valued those sheep enough to go after those predators. He didn't just sit back and say, well, there's one less sheep today. He was a good shepherd. I believe that David became so familiar with God's voice. That's where he wrote over in the backside of the desert there. That's where he wrote most of his psalms. Even when he was on the run, when King Saul was chasing him. And you can see in his psalms, you know. And he encouraged himself in the Lord his God by what God would tell him. Amen? Hallelujah. Now this is before Jesus. This is, of course, he didn't have the Holy Ghost in him, but the Holy Spirit would come upon him. Okay? And so we see David going after the lion, going after the bear. Then when it came time to fight the Philistine, he said that he's going to be just like one of those. Because he rehearsed that with the camp of Israel. He said, there came a lion one day, there came a bear one day, and we rose up and slew him. He said, this Philistine will be just like one of those. So in other words, he practiced the anointing behind the scenes when no one else was there. It was just him and the sheep and God. There was no crowds of people there cheering him on. It was private. It was time alone with God. Amen? And in that time, he cultivated a sensitivity to the Lord. He wanted to hear his voice. He cherished in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we can see these are some of the characters, Abel, Abraham, Lot, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, that were shepherds in the Bible. Okay, now let's talk about, and we're going to use this as a parallel here with the Lord being our shepherd, which we'll read Psalm 23 before we dismiss today. Okay, shepherds had a purpose, okay, natural shepherds had a purpose, and this, of course, will parallel right away with the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, what he does for us. Amen? First of all, he led the sheep. A natural shepherd, his first responsibility was to lead sheep to food and to water. Okay? Now, over in Israel, it's not like here where you have green grass everywhere. They had to find places. Okay? They had to find spots, locations where they could, where there was rain, where grass would grow, where they would lead the sheep to these particular areas. Number two, they stayed with the flock day and night. Amen. Remember in Luke's gospel, it said the shepherds were keeping their flock by night. Remember that? And so the shepherd would live with the sheep. It was a full-time job. Amen. Number three, a shepherd would protect, we talked about this, they would protect the sheep from predators and thieves. Like lions and wolves and bears and robbers were threats. But the shepherd, you ever notice with a shepherd's rod, they're different. Well, it's just a straight on the bottom part, but then there's a hook or a crook on the top there. Those were two different things. The part that was straight, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, okay? Well, the rod was for beating off predators, okay? But the hook that was on the top part of the staff was used to rescue sheep and put it around their neck and pull them out of ditches and things like that. It wasn't used to beat them. It was used to pull them out. Okay? And so a shepherd would protect the sheep from lions, from wolves, from robbers, from real threats. Okay? Hallelujah. Just like David did. Number four, the shepherd knew each sheep personally. Shepherds would often name their sheep and recognize them individually. Sheep learned to recognize the shepherd's voice and would follow him. And that's what Jesus Christ says, my sheep hear my voice. Amen? Number five, a shepherd would care for injured and weak sheep. A shepherd would clean their wounds, apply oil, and care the animal if necessary. Imagery is from Psalm 23. Now let's talk about this part here in Psalm 23 that he anoints my head with oil. Okay? Now you might know this or you may not know this, but that's literal. That's not just figurative, that's literally. They would anoint their head with oil. What kind of oil? Olive oil, okay? Which was the anointing. That was the holy, that was the anointing oil back then. And so when it says he anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over, sheep were real vulnerable to flies going into their eyes, kind of gross, and building, you know, and laying eggs and so forth, which would cause disease in the sheep's eyes, which could lead to blindness. Are you with me? But the oil, the olive oil, was like bug repellent, and the shepherd would pour it on the top of the sheep's head, okay? Because that's where a lot of olive trees are from, still in that area over there. He would anoint their head. In other words, he would cover their head with olive oil, and the flies would not stay around that. It would repel. Doesn't that make sense? And so he anoints our head with oil. Praise the Lord. All right? So he cared, the shepherd cared for the injured and weak sheep. Number six, he guided and disciplined them. Sheep would tend to wander into dangerous territory. The staff was used to gently pull them back and guide them in the right direction. In other words, one of the sheep would get away from the fold. Well, he could become put in a dangerous position. Okay? So they would pull them back. Amen. A shepherd would also gather and count them on a daily basis. He would regularly count them. Okay? Remember the parable of the lost sheep? Remember that? And so he would give and make an account for the sheep that were there. Amen. So I said all that to say this morning. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. He's there to guide us, to protect us, to provide for us, and to have a personal relationship with. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now let's go over to Psalm 23 right now. Psalm 23, and let's just spend the rest of our time here this morning. Hallelujah. Good shepherd. Amen. The shepherd would love his sheep. A good shepherd in the Bible days would love his sheep. He would care for them and tend for them. And they would respond to his voice because they became familiar with his voice. They wouldn't respond to other people. Now, I love it because the Lord always uses analogies and where people could identify with it. So a natural shepherd could say, I know what that's about. Okay? And I gave you that illustration about recently over in Israel where a guy had those sheep. Somebody else tried to call them. They didn't respond. Okay? And so look at in the Amplified. Let's look at the Amplified here, Josh. In Psalm 23. I wanted to read this in the Amplified this morning. Praise the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and to shield me. I shall not lack. Amen. Isn't that, that's powerful right there. That'll do away with lack right there. The Lord is my shepherd. First thing he says, I will not lack. So if we face lack, which we all do from time to time, not enough, lack, the Lord says, first thing I am to you, I am your shepherd. You shall not lack. Amen? Praise God. Isn't that good news? The Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, shield me. I shall not lack. Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside still and restful waters. Now, why is that important? Because a sheep will not drink out of moving water. Like in a brook that's moving. They're spooked by that. They will not drink out of that. They can only drink out of water that's still, that there's no movement. Okay? Because they get spooked. Verse 3. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning of it, but for his name's sake. Amen. Verse 4. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley, shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil. You are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort me. Now notice in verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In verse 5. You anoint my head with oil, brimming cup runs over. And in verse 6 it says, surely. Now I love this. Surely. Say surely. Surely goodness and mercy. Not maybe. Surely goodness and mercy. Unfailing love follows me. How many days of your life? That's awesome. All the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord, the presence, shall be my dwelling place. There's only 6 verses in Psalm 23, but this is a perfect picture of Jesus Christ. He says, I am the good shepherd. Amen. The shepherd doesn't beat his sheep. He cares for the sheep. Now, in my position, pastors are also called shepherds. So there's a lot of analogies there, you know. Now, one thing about a true shepherd is a shepherd doesn't run when something happens. When something goes wrong, you know what I mean? And, you know, and I've known people through the years that the first bit of, turmoil or trouble or stuff like that, they said, well, maybe God called me to do something else, you know what I mean? But, there's no perfect shepherd in the natural. But a good shepherd's going to always look out for the flock. They're going to look out for the people because they care for the people. Amen? And I thank God for the shepherd's heart because that's something God put on the inside of me. I'm not perfect. No, I'm not. But my shepherd is. Amen? But having a shepherd's heart is a heart that cares for people. Amen? That has compassion for people. Amen? I ran into a guy one time, you know, in fact, he used to be my pastor. He said, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. Well, he would start a church, leave it, start a church, leave it, you know, and he never stayed with it, you know what I'm saying? And, because people would get under his skin, you know? Now, don't get me wrong. Through the years, I've had people do me wrong and like anybody else, you know? But, you know, you got to look past that. You know what I'm saying? You have to look past that because what's your purpose? My purpose in this earth right now is to be a shepherd after God's heart. Amen? And whatever he wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Amen? That's my purpose, right? And with that purpose, whatever God's called us to do, there's an anointing to do what he's called us to do. Praise God. Someone said one time, I don't know how you do what you do with pastoring. I said, well, I don't know how you do what you do because I don't have the anointing to do what you're doing. Okay? But there's a grace and there's an anointing to do what God has called us to do. He said, if I called you to do this, I'm going to provide the anointing to do that. Amen? And sometimes we chase off wolves and lions and things like that, not naturally, but spiritually speaking, taking authority over these kind of things that come against the people of God, the sheep of God, and take authority and say, no, you don't. You're not going to touch these sheep in Jesus' name. They belong to the Lord. Amen? And we're important to the Lord. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. But I wanted to share all that this morning. There's a lot we could go different directions there, but the main thing I want to emphasize here today is Jesus over and over again in John chapter 10 said, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. A stranger's voice, they're not going to follow. Amen? So that leads me to this. We need to be saying on a regular basis about your ability to hear from the Lord in difficult situations. Many times David, when he was up against the wall, and so to speak, and the people were going to stone him, you know, they were so discouraged, you know, and they spake of stoning him. The Bible says he went and encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And the Lord gave him a plan. The Bible says that David inquired of the Lord. He was a man. Now, was he perfect? No. He made mistakes? Yes. But he was a man after God's heart because the reason it was said that way is because he always wanted a place for God's tabernacle. Now back then the ark was God's presence and he wanted to build a home. In fact, he wanted to build it himself, but the Lord told David, he said, you have too much blood on your hands. I'm going to give that job to your son to do that. Okay? But the reason he was considered a man after God's heart is because he wanted to find a permanent dwelling place. And it started with David, ended with Solomon. And they built a house for the Lord. Now, of course, that's Old Testament. We don't live under that now. Now our bodies are the temples, okay? But back then there had to be a physical temple as a type and a shadow, right? And David would do everything to protect that God's presence, amen? So if God's presence is in us, which he is, the good shepherd that lives on the inside of us, and because he lives on the inside of us, he will communicate with us. He will speak to us. Should it be a strange thing that the Lord wants to talk to his people? Question. Well, here's the thing. Doesn't always have to be some big, monumental, life-changing decision that you need to hear from the Lord. Of course, he's there for that. But what about your daily affairs, your going about your business, and just communication, okay? Now, my wife and I, we communicate. Our kids, we communicate. But it's not always a deep call to deep conversation. It's just a normal conversation, okay? And I say this, that the Lord wants to constantly reassure you of his love and his care for you on a daily basis. He wants to let you know that he cares for you, that he loves you, so that it gives you a strong confidence. Are you with me? When you go about your business during the day, you have that confidence, the Lord loves me. Amen? Jesus, like the kid's song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Praise God. And so I've opened myself up for the Lord, and this is how he deals with me. He reassures me on a daily basis that he loves me and that he cares for me. Well, how do you know that? Because the devil wouldn't tell me that. You think the devil's going to tell you that? But because your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Lord lives in there, he's the good shepherd. He wants to, because I know some of y'all, you face some difficult situations. I know that. Some of the things you've told me, some things I don't know, it's just by the Holy Ghost. You face difficult situations and you need that reassurance. I need that reassurance on a daily basis. Amen? And so I'll just be going about my business and I'll hear in my spirit, just like the son, I love you today. Keith, I love you today. And I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I receive that. Thank you. I receive that. I believe that. And so we have this conversation going on. I might be just driving down the road, just walking, going about my business. And I'll hear him interrupt me in a good way and say, son, I love you today. Because sometimes we can get so busy doing something, you know, and so forth, involved in whatever. And the Lord just wants to reassure us that we're his people, the sheep of his pasture, and that he loves us, that he cares for us. The sheep are secure when they're in the presence of their shepherd. They're not afraid of predators because they know the shepherd will take care of them. He leads them to green pastures where they have good food to eat and they lie down. They're able to relax because they're easily spooked. And when they're at rest, when they're at peace, they know that the shepherd is watching over them. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Say, he is a good shepherd and he watches over me. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Amen. Now let's close today, but let's just pray. Amen. Let's just take a moment and pray in the Spirit, okay? Would you do that with me? Praise the Lord. Samboro kolomase brambala kristolo krostede shandalaba kotema krista kaliborama. Halabura nambra didia lagara da brasidia shandoro kotor vakaya. Re venere menavala bokore menemana mokore bedabeladia la bagramanaka. Pura seva de babra menemana mokotre se telebedebla bagramanakatra mia shata. Praise you, Father God. Mana noma mama malakere deble barabobo rebedabele kiasa. Saboro kore melededia la baramama mama kisha barabobo remenamakanana. Samara baba bobo do korebe debele vala baba bobo. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, sababre. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Manase, manase. Thank you, Lord God. Brenda levede bele baraba bobo, kleshe shia de barabo kumbrandaka. Remba levede de dia la mano mama mama. Seve de baradia de barabo kotre mana makasa. Now, Father, right now, that we are. Dependent upon you, Father, just as a sheep depends on the shepherd. And we need to hear from you on a regular basis, Father, a daily basis. And we're thankful that you're always available for us, that you're watching over us. You watch over your people, your sheep, Father. I pray that you would give us the ability, Father, to discern the shepherd's voice. That's Jesus' voice in our hearts every single day, especially this week coming up, Lord. That we will be able to cultivate a hearing ear. Just like Isaiah 50 says, Lord, give us a hearing ear. What the Spirit of God is telling us, what the Spirit of God is showing us, what the Good Shepherd is telling us. And Lord, we thank you for that. Father, we praise you for that. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Let's just give him thanks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Manasoto bokolo kore di sisi sema mama kolo bokumba karana. Lende de bolo bobora de di di da ba 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 kolo kose de veledesa. Raya shufala ma kridia sovra mang legate de shasaya hasaya som. Thank you, Lord. Vitaros miskarati asandoro kotra sita la bakom brandana. Brenda leve jama brote leveri mama. Jondoro bokoto robokosara. Shabarabala bakotre satala bababra na mama makasa. Sebre de bela bela baba bobo bokosa na vala ba mama makasa da. Saya so semana mama mama kisha de bokondre dia na namaka. Sambroto bakotre sedia la praste de baka bra de baka. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Marshike da suma mama make sadike mama make sheshaka. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, did you learn some things this morning? Glory be to God. We're his people, his sheep. We hear his voice. Voice of a stranger, we will not follow. Amen.